good to get the video?
Well, no, they're still working on it, the technicians, so we're ready to go by telephone.
Okay, Mr. Jackson, would you state your name and AGC number again, sir?
Thomas K. Jackson, 063-164.
Mr. Jackson, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412A, 411 home arrest. That is for general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. You've been certified by the Department of Corrections. And according to information that we have, you're currently serving a concurrent sentence, both of those being armed robbery, and we have the same dates for both of them. The dates would be December the 20th, 1989. That's when the sentence began. We also show that on December the 15th, 2015, that's when you became parole eligible, and you're currently serving concurrent 25 to life sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
And according to information further that I have gleaned by just looking at some of the information is that your last discipline would have been in 2013, September the 16th of 2013, and that was disorderly conduct. That was a major. Then you had one in 2012. That was self-possession, which was a minor. And the one just before then was in 09, and that would have been possession of drug paraphernalia, and that would have been a major. Are those correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm reading here.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we're at the same, saying the same thing, that we have the same understanding. And I also take note that the last time you appeared before this board would have been September 26, 2016, and that would have been for the 412A. At that time, you were denied at that time. I also show that before then, back in 1988, a long time ago, you had a 412A, and you was granted, at that time, you were granted general parole. You cannot see us today, unfortunately. We are operating by way of telephone, but however, there are 5 board members participating in the hearing today. And just for your information, they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair this afternoon, sir. I also show, sir, that you have 2 supporters in the room who will be speaking just a little later as we go through the hearing this afternoon. And just for information, I'm just going to make a few other comments, and you can correct me if anything that I have that may or may not be correct, because sometimes, even when we read the pre-sentence report and the aims and so forth, sometimes we find some information that's in conflict with what you know, because you are the only one who was there that may be in the room at this time. But the original offense itself that we're looking at today are offenses, because as I said, we're looking at dual ones, but they are concurrent, armed robbery. And we show between November the 21st, 1989 and December 16, 1989, you committed a series of armed robberies of convenience stores such as Quick Store Marks, as well as Circle K's. And these were in the Tucson area or Pima County. When you conducted these armed robberies, you displayed a knife or handgun, and you demanded money, stamps, or food stamps, and sometimes you also requested cigarettes. You had a co-defendant who was driving the vehicle as you would leave these events. In December 1989, you attempted to cash a stolen check at a check cashing business, and the employer there saw you and called the police, and you were arrested at that time. You was taken into custody at that time. You had gotten these checks from some mailboxes, from some houses, from some apartments where you had resided at some one point or another. You were not residing there, and you were cashing those checks. And you were using that money mainly to buy illegal substances, drugs, mainly cocaine. So far, how far am I off? What's wrong and what's right and what I've gleaned so far, sir?
Sir, that's all true and correct. Very to the point.
Okay, sir. Well, this time we're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to talk to the board, because the board members, except for myself, they have never seen you before, spoken with you before. The other four board members, I did have the opportunity a year or so ago to speak with you. I was present at that hearing, but the rest of the board members were not present. But before I let you talk, I would point out the fact that you have submitted a institution progress report. And you have, I guess, the last program that we showed, that counseling that we showed, you were in the reentry program, and that was in 2015, March of 2015. And you were in the auxiliary program back in 2014, in the SMART program in 08, and cognitive thinking in 08, and conflict resolution in 08, and culture diversity in 07. But as it relates to 2015, have you taken any programs at all since 2015, sir?
Yes, sir. Okay. I believe my packet from last year shows a wealth of programs completed, as well as the one that was mailed by Alongside Ministries that I completed in the last 12 months.
Yes, so we do have your certificates and the programs that you completed, but I just wanted to ask you, just wanted to make sure, and we also have the letter from Alongside Ministries as well, that we also have that in our files as well. But we always want to talk with you to make sure that you that we are in agreement. The one from Alongside Ministries, the one that we have, is dated August the 1st of 2017, and so we do show that they are willing to accept you if this board see fit to release you at this time. Now, I've talked, mainly about, why you were incarcerated and the information that you've given in terms of the of your progress report. But just to begin the conversation before we go to board members, what do you want to tell the board at this particular time? Anything you want to tell the board about the offense itself that resulted in your being incarcerated, or what you've done since you've been incarcerated to improve your behavior, your conditions? So what do you want to tell the board, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I have to take total responsibility for my actions, my behavior, my dysfunctional life at that time. I have tried to grow and to be a better person. It's not always been easy, but I feel I've been making progress. As you'll see, as far as our disciplinary, my institutional record, you'll see from the packet from August 1st, that I have extensive disciplinary in the first 15 years, but now in the last 13 years, I've only been convicted of one major, one minor, and I've had two not guilties. It's a significant change in my disciplinary severity and tempo. You see also that I've remained in the same unit, in the same house for almost 8 years now, 7 years, 10 months. Keeping a job. As far as programming goes, I attend AA, NA meetings every day. So I have 31 hours from last month, 34 hours from the previous month, and that's average for me. And I realized that why this happened is I got out of prison last time with a drug habit. And getting close to being able to make parole, to be able to see you and have an opportunity, I knew that I needed to make sure and address those issues on the front end, not on the other side, on the streets, but begin to really address the core issues of why I was a drug addict. And I've tried to significantly really work that program to the best of my ability. And I'm really blessed to be on the yard that we have AA, NA meetings 7 days a week. I get between 7 and 9 hours of meetings every week, and that's fantastic, and it's been such a blessing.
Yeah, so do you, you know, and I know some people say have different philosophies on this, but you, do you consider yourself, I know you haven't used drugs recently, but do you consider yourself to be a recovering drug addict, or what? How would you classify yourself now, sir, as relates to drugs?
Yes, sir, thank you. I consider myself, just like it says in the doctor's opinion in the big book, that I suffer from a disease known as addiction, and that I cannot pick up one time. I cannot make compromises. I cannot hold back reservations to think that I can play with this like other people, that I have to be 100% abstinent for the rest of my life. I have to go to meetings for the rest of my life. I have to help other people in their recovery to maintain my recovery. It's an active spiritual program that you only keep what you have by giving it away, as it says in the big book. So.
Okay. So, let's go back to the original offense itself. I know that you were a younger person then than you are now. I know a number of years have passed since then. But what was in your mind when you were going around robbing all of these stores, you and your co-defendant? What were you thinking about, sir? I think you committed, what, over 10 robberies and armed robberies and so forth. So why were you going around to these convenience stores and robbing them, armed robbery, sometimes with a knife, sometimes with a firearm? What was in your mind? I know it's been a long time, but as you reflect on it, what was going on, sir, at that time?
Sir, I feel that addiction is a compulsion, that once the disease has a hold of you, you'll do whatever it takes to get more drugs. And, you know, I was dealing with a lot of dysfunction from my early years, and drugs helped numb out all that dysfunction. And the drugs just made the dysfunction even more dysfunctional. As far as the thinking, I felt compelled and trapped at that time that I couldn't get out of this cycle of downward spiral. It was bad, and I wish I could change that, but all I can do now is change today, one day at a time. Keep working this program. The person I was when I was 25 years old, that person was gone. He's melted away in 28 years in prison, and I'm really doing my best, sir, to not be that person again.
Okay, sir. As I stated up front, you know, I've had the opportunity to speak with you before. The other board members have not. Therefore, I'm going to see if other board members might have any questions for you at this time. Board members, any questions at this time for Mr. Jackson? The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis.
Yes, Mr. Jackson, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Again, I know there's quite a bit of information in your pro packet, and I was reviewing it again. As I was sitting here on the panel, and you made reference to Alongside Ministries, but did you say what your plans were for sustaining yourself when you come out of the prison system?
Could you repeat the question, please? I couldn't hear you.
How do you plan on making a living, or if this board should release you to general parole or home arrest, how do you plan on taking care of yourself, making a living?
Oh, very good. That's a good question. It's a cool question. I have an employment package here. Let me get it out of my file, please.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, here we find. At our unit, we've had a number of seminars from Governor Ducey's program, Arizona at Work. Okay, Innovative Workforce Solutions. Mr. Ducey wants us getting out of here and getting jobs. So he's made it easier for us to find jobs. Okay, so when I get out, I'll be pairing myself with a workforce specialist, and he'll be helping me to get a job. When I went to these seminars, they helped me prepare a sample resume that I can use as a template for any resume, for any job I want to do. I have that in front of me. They helped me prepare a master application worksheet that has all my pertinent data for any job application already consolidated into one in one little package right here, there all I have to do is transfer from the worksheet to the actual application to submit it. They've helped us a lot in interview skills, the do's and the don'ts. It's a fantastic program. I'm really excited about it because it can at first help me obtain an entry-level job, but it can also help me plan and build a new career as long as I keep working through their program. And I'm really excited about that. I know at first I'll have to take an entry-level job, but I'd like to get my CDL license and go from there and maybe parlay that into working heavy equipment.
Very good.
Career goals.
Very good, and I do commend you for all of the programming you've done since you've been inside DOC.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. Further questions by board members for Mr. Jackson? I don't see any further questions at this time, sir. There may be some just a little later, but as I indicated, you do have two supporters here. We have your mentor as well as a friend who are here, so who want to come up first? Okay, sir, please come forward.
Popped up.
And as usual, what's your name? State your name for the record.
My name is David Biden. I'm the director of Alongside Ministries.
I think we just saw you.
You did, just a couple days ago.
Yes, sir.
Just a little bit, just a reminder of Alongside Ministries. We are an organization that helps the inmate population transition back into society. We actually have a 90% success rate for the people that graduate our program. Thomas Jackson has actually been in our program now for 2 years inside of prison, and he has had a mentor now since April of 2016. His mentor is actually here and will be talking about the things that he has seen, the improvements in the mindset, the mind change of Thomas Jackson. As you, I'm sure, have in front of you, you'll see that when Thomas Jackson first got into prison, within the first 13 years, he had 39 tickets. But in the last 17 years, he's only had 6 tickets. That shows a major change in his life and in his mindset of things. The last ticket that he's gotten was in 2013. So Thomas Jackson, we have a place for him already set up. He will be staying at the Discipleship Training Center, which is where all our program people come and live with us for a period of time. We do have extensive programming that they will need to do on a weekly basis, including CR, Celebrate Recovery, that they go to each and every week. It's a 12-step program. After they graduate from our program, anywhere between 9 and 12 months from now, they'll graduate, and then they have an opportunity to move into graduate housing and still be a part of our community. Alongside Ministries has two things that are the main success for us. One is a change of heart by accepting Jesus Christ, and the second one is also working with a mentor. A mentor goes into the prison with them, gets to know them, breaks down the walls, and the, builds trust, and then on the outside, the mentor still continues to walk with them on a daily basis or weekly basis. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, board members? Okay, well, thank you so very much. I think we're familiar with your program since you were here just last week talking to us. Yes, sir.
You were.
Okay. Yes, sir. Please come forward, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And what is your name, sir? Can you reach and pull that down just a little bit? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Alan Lopez.
And what do you want to tell the board this afternoon, sir?
Well, first of all, I want to go out there and associate, at least make you aware of who I am. I'm a veteran of 20 years in the Air Force. 18 of that, I was law enforcement. The first 7 years I just basically was law enforcement, driving around, driving a car, handling prisoners. Then 1981, for the next 11 years, I went to be a detective. And a part of that made me responsible for being the NCORC, which is non-commissioned officer, in charge of investigation, kennels, and confinement. So basically, I became the warden. So putting boards together like yourself for the prisoners that were in there, that was my job. So I've sat in your office in the position you were at for 11 years. Then I did 2 years, I was medically cross-trained, and then from 1994 till now, I decided that I got tired of putting people behind bars, so I decided to go out and see if I could get involved with the prison system and see if I could help people get out of the system. Like I said, I did 18 years of putting them behind bars. I wanted to see if I could do something. And the last group that I'm in right now is Long Ministries. Now, I picked up Jackson back about a year and a half ago. Now, my job is to go out and deal with this guy on a daily basis. Now, you said something just a little ago, Mr. Quinones, that you're worried about your job is safety of the public. And I want to make sure that before I'm going to go out there, I'm a father. I don't want to go out to unleash anybody out in the streets because we're responsible. You guys are responsible. When somebody, you let somebody go, they mess up, they're going to come back at you guys. I'm no better. I'm up here trying to tell you that I've seen Jackson change in a year and a half. I've been there. My job is to go out there as a mentor, is to go out there and look to see if these guys are just filling in the block so they can stand in front of you and say, hey, I did what you wanted to. But that's not preparing him to go out in society. You need to know if he's ready or not. And you, in our organization, we actually go in there. I get to deal with this guy on a day, you know, when I go out there and I deal with him, I know who he is. He has changed. And guess what happens? As hard as I am with him in prison, I'm going to follow him when he goes out there. He ain't going to get a free ride. I'm telling you that now. That cop in me that I had for 18 years, he ain't gonna wait for nothing. My job is gonna be plain and simple, is to follow him and to go out and make him successful. Why? This guy's got skills. He's got abilities. And we're gonna provide that in the organization that we have. We provide a place for him to go out there and live. We have other people that are going through the same thing, so he's not in there alone. And he's gonna have some kind of support system that you need to have. Most people, when they get out, they don't have no support system at all. We do provide that. And I'm here to go out and tell you, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. I didn't think that this guy was ready. Because it's a part of my job that when I go mentor these guys, if they're not ready, I'm like you. I'm going to go out and say, guess what? I reviewed it. Not no, but no. But Jackson has filled what my requirements was for this program. And all I'm asking for, if he gets out, I want to make sure that he goes out there and holds his end of it, and it's going to be my job also to check it out. So you're not going to be the only ones responsible when you let him go. If you let him go, and I'm hoping you do, it's going to be my job too. And I want to hold myself accountable. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lopez. Any questions for Mr. Lopez? I don't see any questions. Thank you so very much, and thanks for all that you've done with the military and law enforcement and all that the great career that you've had over the years, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Okay, board members, any questions at this time for Mr. Jackson? I don't see any questions at this time, sir. Mr. Jackson, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but we want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself. Anything else you want to tell the board this afternoon, sir?
Well, thank you, sir. First off, I'd like to thank the board for hearing me today. I really greatly appreciate this opportunity. I'd like to thank my two witnesses who've been there for me. I've been impressed over the last couple of years by Mr. Lopez's character, his commitment, his consistency. And David, what he didn't tell you is that he's been on numerous missionary trips, and I'm just really impressed with his Christian walk, and it's an inspiration to me, and I appreciate having these guys in my life. I'd like to read a prepared statement, if that would be all right.
Please go ahead, sir. We're listening.
Thank you. Today, with the Longside Ministries, I have hope and opportunity that I've never experienced before in my life. The support and encouragement they are sowing into my life is an amazing gift, a gift that in my turn, I'm duty-bound to sow into the lives of others. There is a place in the body of Christ where we can be at maximum service. Alongside will help me to discern my own mission and to fully embrace God's place for my life in His wise and loving plan. They are teaching me to live a life of faith, morals, reason, and virtue bearing fruit, which will open to me the best days of my life. It is my privilege and honor to be a part of the spiritual family, which is Alongside Ministries. Therefore, I respectfully ask that this honorable board to release me into the charge and care of Alongside Ministries. Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you so very much. On behalf of the board, we want to thank you for your wonderful brief statement that you offered to the board. So now the board is going into discussion, sir. It may sound as if we're talking to you or that we're talking to those others, the two distinguished gentlemen who are here on your behalf today, but we're not. Now we're just talking among ourselves in keeping with the Arizona open meeting law. And following this discussion, the board will make its determination. This will be the first time that the board will have had an opportunity to discuss your case, sir. The board is now in discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet at this time. Board members, anyone wants to lead off the discussion? Hearing no one wanting to lead off the discussion, the Honorable Mr. Johnson wants to lead off the discussion. Mr. Johnson, sir.
Doctor, I've been impressed with Mr. Jackson, what he's done, and I've actually looked over his letter a couple of times that he sent in, the letter that he wrote in to the actual board. And even since his last hearing, you know, the amount of classes and training that he's taken has been very impressive to me. And we've been aware of Alongside Ministries and what they present and what they actually do. I would be supportive of Mr. Jackson having home arrest status.
Thank you so much, Honorable. Any further discussion?
Yes. Honorable? Thank you, Dr. White. I agree with my colleague, Mr. Johnson. You know, the big question for me was, what was his plan? And it sounds like he does have a solid transition plan and great support.
Thank you so very much. Honorable Ms. Friedenberg.
Thank you, Dr. White. I was interested to hear his discussion about his drug addiction and to hear the language he used about how he's addressed that. I believe that he's got a good handle on it, and the fact that he'll have Mr. Lopez walking right next to him, I think that's gonna keep him on the straight and narrow. I appreciate his outlook toward employment. It sounds like he has a good handle on that as well. The only thing I would note is that the crime was committed while he was on probation. So that's the only negative that's in the back of my head. But otherwise, I'm feeling very positive about it.
Thank you so very much. Honorable Mr. Neal, anything you want to add, sir?
No, I concur with my colleagues.
Okay, well, I've asked enough questions, therefore I'm going to concur as well, and at this time I'm going to move to grant Mr. Jackson home arrest and deny him of general parole or absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second. Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by all other board members. He will be granted home arrest, and with the conditions as set forth, among others, to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Because I still think that whenever one's getting out for the first time after a number of years, we'll need assessments, referral, counseling, or vocational or educational training, and Alongside Ministries has all those programs there. Random tests for drugs, alcohol, I always say this, and somebody can always disagree, no operation of motor vehicle until you has the parole officer's authority to do that. The parole officer, I also suggest that he would, although Alongside Ministry will be doing some of these things themselves. Eddie, I want to make a comment about that. I'm going to stop there and make a comment about that. We cannot assign him to Alongside Ministries. That will be the decision of the Department of Corrections. They will make that decision, but I'm sure they've heard us and they will read what has been said. I do want to make that very clear to everybody that that's not something that the board does. No contact with victims' families, if there's still those. must pay any restitution. That's to, will be determined by the court system. We're going to recommend a halfway house, but we're not going to recommend which one. We're going to leave that up to the Department of Corrections. And that he would pay, $65 supervision fee beginning 60 days after he is released. Anything else that we want to add, board members? Hearing nothing else that want to be added, Mr. Jackson, can you live with those conditions that I have just outlined, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank all of you. You will not be disappointed. God bless you.
Okay. Well, we're depending on you. We will see you in about 6 months from now. Hopefully, you will have done such an outstanding job that you won't be, you just come by and learn and give us a progress report. And again, thank you so very much. And your hearing is over. And good luck, sir.
Thank you.
And thank the both of you so very much for joining us today. And sir, would you give the phone to the CO3?
Yeah, go ahead. CO3 will clear.